everybody. Let's pray together. Let me lead us. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning that you are God. And that as we sit here, that you have life under control for all of us. That you are the one who is in charge of the issues in our lives. You're in charge of our church. You're in charge of our nation. You're in charge of the whole world. You're in charge of the realm of the demons and the opposition. You're in charge of the realm of your spiritual forces. And Lord, you control it all. And we want to thank you today that as we come before you, that we can have confidence that you reign. And Lord, that we are yours. And we're grateful for that. And Lord, I just pray for our time this morning that as we focus on things that are hard for us as a church family, that you would be here in our presence in power. Lord, that you would give each one of us individually the opportunity to hear what is going on in our midst. And Lord, we ask that in all of this, that you might be glorified. That's also why we're here. So, Father, we commit this time to you, and we would just ask that in the course of this morning that we might experience your presence in a way that is very deep and very assuring and in a way that would really make a difference in all of our lives. We're glad to be here this morning because you are here, and, Father, we thank you for that promise that where we are gathered, you are in our midst, and we just ask now that you would allow us to experience you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you are part of our Everyday Hope Christian Church family, most of you probably received a phone call yesterday to pass on news. And the particular news is that the elders of Hope Christian Church made a decision this past week, which I concur with, that I will step down from my role as the teaching pastor of Hope Christian Church at the end of August. And if you are a member of the church and you didn't get that message yesterday, I apologize for that. We tried to contact everybody for whom we have a telephone number and let you know that ahead of time. So if this is the first you've heard of this, again, I apologize. There's no good way to do this, and we tried to do the best we can. Also, if you're visiting with us today, maybe for the first time, this is certainly not what you had hoped to experience when you came to Hope Christian Church this morning. But I think one thing that you will experience here this morning is the body of Christ at work in a very significant way. So we are glad that all of you are here today for our time to worship at Hope Christian Church. A little bit later, I will go over a little bit of the history that's led us to this point so that you can understand as best as possible at this point what has brought us to this conclusion. But before we do that, we want to focus on God because at any time in our lives, we need God at the center of it, but especially at a time like this. So, I want to focus your attention on God. And if you got a Bible, would you open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? You know, again, this is, as you'll see as we discuss a little bit later, this is obviously not a decision that the elders and I have come to lightly. It's something that we've been focusing on for a number of months. And, of course, in that time, we've all been seeking God. And as I've been going through this in my own journey, the Lord has spoken to me in a number of ways just to encourage me and help me. And one of the places where he's done that is in 2 Corinthians, the early chapters, but especially in chapter 1. And I just want to walk you through a few things that the Lord has used to help me in hopes that they will also help you as we go through this time. Paul starts off and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God." You know, as we have gone through this process, one of the things that I have prayed for, and I know the other elders have as well, is that we would know and do God's will. You know, ultimately, all of this stuff is not about what I want. It's not about what the elders want. And it's not about, really, what we as a church want. It's about what God wants. And so I just ask us that as we continue forward, that we would keep that as our focus. What does God want here? Obviously, oftentimes what God wants is painful. And that's what this has been for Laurel and I and our family, but also for the elders, and now it will be so for you. This is painful. This is not what any of us really want. It's not the kind of thing that any of us are excited about. This is a sad time. It's a sad time for us personally. It's a sad time for our leadership team, and it's a sad time for our church. But God is here for times like that. Look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." So friends, we need to look to God. He will comfort us. He will be with us personally and walk us through this time. As you drop down later on to verse 9, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead." You know, one of the things that I've been reminded of through this whole process over these last several months is that we need to trust in God. And we have a God who raised Jesus from the dead. And he raised others from the dead. And we need to look to him. And our tendency at times like this is to trust in ourselves, to trust in our own wisdom, our own thinking, our own abilities. And God reminds us here that we need to trust in him. Then, move on to verse 12. Paul writes, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you." Friends, that has always been my prayer for myself, that the Lord would give me the grace to be able to live this way. And I pray that we would all be able to live this way as we go through this. That in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we would conduct ourselves. Obviously, there's a lot of room for the flesh in times like this. You know, times to push for our own desires, times when anger comes up, times when frustration comes, lots of room for the flesh. And we need to be careful not to operate in the flesh, but in holiness and godly sincerity. Then dropping down to verse 21, Paul says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God." You know, as I've gone through this process, I've come back to these verses a number of times just to be reminded that God is the one who established us. I mean, God is the one who brought me and my family here. God is the one who established this church. It is his. It's not our church. God is the one who brought each of you here. And the Lord is also the one who can move us around other places. He's the one who established me here. He's the one who anointed me to this ministry. But he also has the privilege and the right to move us if he wants to. And then the last thing that's been on my heart through all this time is verse 23, where Paul says, "But I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth." And all through these months, one of the things that I've been praying is that God would spare his church, that he would spare you. And, you know, our hope early on was that he would spare spare you by coming up with a solution to some of the differences that I'll talk about a little bit later. But he's chosen not to do that. And so what we pray now is that he would spare you in the midst of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. So those are the things that have helped me through this time, and I just wanted to share them with you and just encourage you to find comfort and help in these things. We're looking for God's will. We need God's comfort. We need to trust him rather than trusting in ourselves. We need to walk in holiness and godly sincerity. We need to recognize that God is the one who establishes us. And we need to spare the church and look out after the welfare of his church here. I think those are some things we need to pray and ask the Lord to help every single one of us to do. We need to worship the Lord and focus on him. Would the worship team please come up and lead us in a time of worship? Well, because of what we want to talk about now, I know most people want to stay in here for this, so we've decided not to have the taught church, but if you have young ones that are two and under and you want to take them down to the nursery, that's fine to do that. So you can go ahead and do that now if you have young ones that you want to take down to the nursery. If you want to keep all your kids here, that's fine too. And you know, we're a family church here, so if kids get fussy, we can live with that. So that's okay. And or if they get to where you don't feel comfortable, the room off the back, the prayer room, has a speaker in there, and there's a speaker out in the hallway too. So let's all just flex with one another for this time, so that as many people as want to can stay here. So let me pray for us one more time, and we'll talk some about how we got to this place. Father, I want to thank you for the truths that we have just sung. Lord, you are great, and you are the King above all. Lord, we recognize again that you are sovereign, and we are not. And we recognize as well that you bring things into our lives that stretch us when we don't want them. And yet, Lord, we know that in all that you do, not only are you great, but you are good. And Lord, we believe the truths of your word that says that you do work all things out for good. You work them together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we look to you to do that. Father, we are short-sighted. We don't see much in front of us. And as we look around us, there are a lot of things that are kind of tough for us right now. But we recognize, Lord, that you do see ahead of us. And so we, as we talked about earlier, entrust ourselves to you, the God who raises the dead. And so we just ask for your grace and help in understanding these things. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. As, of course, we've noted, this is all very new to all of you. And again, I apologize for that. Let me give you some history and paint the picture. I'm sure many are wondering, how did we get here? You know, over the last year, we on the elder team have realized that we need to take a look at how we lead the church. And what worked for a small startup church doesn't always work so well as we move forward, and we were starting to recognize a lot of that. And, you know, we have a team of six elders, all who are trying to share the load and trying to accomplish things, but everybody in a different place. I mean, I'm here on the staff full-time, and then others have more or less time that they can give to things. So we just recognized that we needed to take a step back and look at how we do leadership at Hope Christian Church. And we've talked about this some over the past couple of years, but especially in toward the end of November, I got involved in this in a whole lot more depth. And as some of you may remember, we made this the focus of our elders' retreat back in January. That was the main thing that we were focusing on, the leadership of Hope Christian Church. Of course, as we had that discussion, we talked about a number of things. We talked about the structure of our leadership, just what leadership structure would work best. We reevaluated our elder model and looked at other things, other options, and discussed different things around that. Also, in a discussion like that, it's important to talk about roles, who's doing what. And we talked about the various roles of the elders, especially my role, but also about the other elder roles as well. Also, in a discussion like this, as you would expect, we talked a lot about ministry philosophy, how we do ministry. We talked about the direction of the church, where we see things going in the future. We talked about what we see as the needs of the church and where things are today, and all of those things. Well, in the course of that discussion over a period of months, one of the things that I think became obvious to all of us increasingly as we went through it is that I had some differences with the others on the elder team in some of these areas. The things that we didn't differ on were doctrine. But we were these are not doctrinal concerns. We are solid on the doctrines of the church. We are united on the mission of the church. You know, our mission is to glorify God by developing a community of committed disciples that has an impact for Christ locally and around the world. We're all united on that. But as we started talking about how that gets fleshed out and how we carry that out here in the church today and moving forward, it was real clear that there were some differences that, as we got into them, proved to be significant differences in how we see the ministry carried out as we move forward. Just one example that you'll note, and we'll pass out a letter to you at the end of the service. It'll summarize some of these things. For example, the role of intentional disciple-making in our church. I think we all want to intentionally make disciples, but what that means to each of us is a little bit different. And as you would probably recall, if you went back and saw reviewed the messages that I gave last fall, I realize most people don't remember what I preached from week to week, so you probably don't remember what I said last fall. But if you go back to what the messages that I shared last fall on the mission of Hope Christian Church and the follow-on series on the commitments of a disciple out of 2 Timothy, you'd recognize very clearly that I don't see intentional disciple-making as just one of the things that we do in the church. Like, you know, we have worship services, we have Sunday school classes, we intentionally make disciples, etc. But rather, I see it as the umbrella of all that we do, and it needs to be the core of what we do in the church. But not everybody sees it that way. And those differences started to become evident as we talked. And also, regarding the role that I would play in the church moving forward, we had some differences on that. So these things became evident as we interacted over a period of months. And one thing that became evident as we would try to tackle these things from a lot of different directions is that the differences didn't go away. And that became something that we needed to talk about. And so after a period of time, I just asked the question to the elders, what's God doing here? Because all of us are trying to follow God. Every one of us, we're committed to the Lord. We're committed to the church. We're committed to having an impact for Christ around here and around the world. We're committed to all these things, but we're coming up against some significant differences. And so I asked the question, what do we think that God is doing here? And so we began to pursue that. Because we saw ourselves moving in a direction that seemed to be a direction of division and separation between myself and the majority of the other guys. And so we had to ask that question, what's the Lord doing here? Because we're all trying to follow the Lord. How is it that that all of us can't get together on this? You know, we were in a position where the elders would say, Ray, we've got a good plan here. And, we want you to be a key part of the plan. And if you would just buy our plan, it would all work out great. And I would say to the guys, well, I don't see that your plan allows me to accomplish what God wants me to do, but I've got a plan here. And if you guys would just buy into my plan and go along with that, we would just all do great. And see, that's what an impasse is. And so the issues were such, as we talked about some of these things, that it became clear that if we try to move a team forward with those kind of differences, that we're just going to be dealing with friction or tension more than we need to. And some of these things were issues where we all have convictions, and issues where if you think about it, when you talk about an organization and you think about how you view where we're going, how you view what your role is, and how you view how you're going to do it, those are significant things. And so we were finding some separation on that. Well, after a period of time, I felt it was important, just because of my prayers and thoughts, that it was important to just put the question on the table that nobody wanted to put on the table. And the question was, do you think that Ray Bandai's time at Hope Christian Church is coming to an end? Do we think that that what the Lord, one of the things that the Lord is saying here is that I've done what the Lord has brought me to do, and my my influence moving forward is not going to be the same, and we need to wrestle with that question. And again, none of us want to go there. I don't want to leave this congregation. I love you all. The elders don't want me to leave the congregation. They love me. You don't want me to leave the congregation. None of us want that. And yet, when we keep coming back to the core issues where we don't quite mesh, we can't get away with those. Get away from those things. And so, what we've sensed is that, in a sense, we've been kind of backed into a corner that none of us want to be in, but we don't know any way out. And as we've looked at this, I think, and prayed about it, we've come back to that question. Is it time for Ray to move on to something, some other ministry? And the elders collectively, myself included, have come to the reluctant conclusion that that's what we sense that the Lord is doing. And we that's what we seem to think the Lord is saying to us. And we it's not that we haven't looked at this. We've been dealing with this for months, and finally came to this difficult conclusion. So that's the best as we can figure right now, and it's a conclusion that nobody likes. I don't like it. My family doesn't like it. You don't like it. The elders don't like it. But we sense that the Lord has led us there. So I think we need to just continue to look to the Lord and see what He's going to say to us. Open up your Bibles just for a minute to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15 is an interesting chapter in contrast, because the chapter starts off with the worst controversy that the church had encountered to that time. And what it involved was, as Paul and Barnabas went out on what's called their first missionary journey, they saw a lot of people come to the Lord, and among Gentiles primarily. And so one of the questions was, how Jewish does a Christian need to be? Because, see, all the first Christians were all Jewish. And so when they started having people who were not Jewish come to Christ, there were people who said, well, these guys need to follow the Jewish law, and the men need to be circumcised, and all this kind of stuff. And Paul said, no, this isn't about being Jewish. This is about following Jesus. And so this great debate came about as to what they were going to have to do, and it was heated. When you read this thing, you just see there was quite an argument going on. But eventually, they came to the point where they came to agreement. And if you look at chapter 15, verse 25, in the midst of this letter that they wrote to send out to the churches, it says, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of Christ. And then he says, therefore we've sent Silas, etc. Verse 28, for it seemed good to us, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, you know, abstain from the things sacrificed to idol and blood, etc. So these folks came together and originally had this huge discord, this huge argument going on that was very heated, it talks about. But then they came to the place where they were in agreement. And they were able to say, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that we do such and such. You know, that's the kind of thing that we've seen in the past, and that's the kind of thing that we were praying for and trying to work toward in this particular situation. But we didn't get there. Now, there's an interesting contrast here, because right after this event, look what happens next, verse 36. It says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are.' And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." If you remember back earlier, when Paul and Barnabas started on their first missionary journey, John Mark was with them, but he only went to about the first city or so, and then he went home. And so Paul's saying, "I don't want this guy to come with me because he abandoned us before." Let's read on. "But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So here's the contrast. You have this one big issue where people are debating back and forth, and they get together and they come to the point and say, "Well, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that we do such and such," and there was unity. And then you have these two men, both of whom are godly men, and they can't come to agreement on this issue, and they have to part company, an issue over this one person. One of the things that reminds us of is that there are times in the Christian life where you can take hard things and you can come to a point of unity and agreement. But there are also times when godly people get together and they don't come to agreement. Now, I think one of the things that I think we have done well through this process on is I think all of the men involved have walked with God through this. And there is not any issues of self-will that have been coming across, trying to force one's way on things. I think all of us have dealt in brotherly love through all of this. There's not anger or animosity or unforgiveness or bitterness on any level among the elders as we have worked with this. But we have still come to the point where there are differences, and it's our judgment that moving forward, those differences would not allow us to work effectively as a team. But basically would not allow me to work effectively as a team with them, is what we're looking at. So we feel like God has walked us through this and we've handled a lot of things right. And yet we still disagree. I got a question for you. Paul and Barnabas. Who was right? Well, you know, lots of different debates on that. You know, some would say, "Well, Paul was right because he's, you know, the rest of the book is about him." You know, but then others would say, "Well, no, Barnabas was right because remember, Paul wrote later on in his final days of ministry, 'Send Mark to me because he's useful for service.' How did Mark get useful for service? Barnabas." Barnabas was the one that stuck with Mark through the years and built into his life such that he was faithful at the end and made it to the end. Mark didn't start off real well, but he ended well. And by the way, have you ever heard of Mark? God honored him by allowing him to write one of the Gospels. Everybody knows Mark, just as much as they know Paul, you know. But Barnabas was key there. So who was right? In one aspect, I think they were both right, but one aspect they were both wrong. Let me take the latter first. You know, I don't know how heated how sharp the disagreement was. You know, so if they were arguing and calling one another's names or that kind of thing, that wasn't right. But I don't suspect that that's the case with these guys. My guess is that you can have sharp disagreements in the sense that the lines are clearly sharp. They're clearly drawn, and you have a disagreement. I think they were both right. See, Paul was concerned about what was best for the work. Barnabas was concerned about what was best for the worker. And God led them in different directions, and he used them all for his glory over the long haul. I want to caution you against trying to figure all this stuff out too much. You know, who's right? Is it Ray that's right? Is it the other elders that are right? We don't have the answer to those questions. And I think we are both right in the sense that we're trying to follow the Lord. But we have come to the point where we are different on some things that I feel prohibit us from moving forward in a team in the way that we have in the past. And I think the conclusion is that it would be better for me to minister elsewhere. You know, when you get to a point where you have a division like this, and again, we agree on so much, but there are some things that we part company on. When you get to that point, something's got to give, because you can't go forward like that. And as Laurel and I have prayed about this, we feel like for the sake of the church and the sake of the body and the sake of the team, that this is what the Lord would call us to do. We need to give on this. And yet we need to be faithful to what God has put on our hearts. And so that has led us to this conclusion. I don't like it. The other elders don't like it. You don't like it. You know, and yet we've not been able to figure out a way to avoid it. And so we've sensed that this is where God has placed us. And so now we need to see where he takes us. Andy wants to come and just share a little bit about what the elders have thought of and how we move forward from here.
Thanks, Ray. I think that was a very clear explanation of what we've been going through. Just to make a comment, just so that you get some flavor, how many discussions have we had over these 8 months? I mean, I've not really been able to add it up accurately, but I would say we've been in elders' meetings for more than 100 hours, just to give you a sense. This is not something that has been lightly done or quickly moved through. And you know, for us, that Acts 15 passage that Ray talked to has been an important passage for the elders over the years. I remember a number of circumstances when we've come to meetings with different views and different opinions. One was about a building that we were about to try and acquire. I remember this being in the living room of Dave Chamberlain's house when we had the elders' meetings there early on. And we came with very different views, and I think we all expected people to take certain positions and this, that, and the other, and we started praying, and we started talking about each other, and all those positions changed, and we all came to an agreement within about an hour. And, you know, that was when we sort of first used that passage to say it seemed right to us and the Holy Spirit, or right to the Holy Spirit and us, that. And we've used that many times before. And so I think as an elder group, we have been used to coming together to discuss things, and there are always differences among people who come in different ways, but we've been used to coming together and expecting the Lord to bring us to a point of agreement, and he's always done that until this point. And I think that's been the consternation, I think I could describe, the confusion, the frustration that we have had. And so I stand before you this morning, like everybody, I've had a few days more to process this than you all. But I'm still nowhere close to really processing this. Still in a lot of pain. I reiterate Ray's words. He doesn't like it, and we don't like it, and we know you don't like it. But it's hard to understand, and it's hard not to do what God is leading us to do here. I'd like to just make a few points to reiterate a couple of things that Ray said, and then really just talk a little bit about so where are we going forward from here, just so that you understand some of that. I'd like to reiterate that there's absolutely no fellowship issue within the elders. We love Ray. Ray loves us. All of the meetings, I wish you could have been in the prayer session this morning that we had beforehand, just the six of us sitting around praying together. We are not in any way in broken fellowship. We love each other. We are in complete agreement, as Ray has said, on the mission and the doctrinal issues. This is not a split over doctrine. This is not a break over mission. We are in complete agreement on those things. And it has become, reluctantly, a unanimous view of the elders that God is calling Ray to move on. And I say reluctant. When Ray put a piece of paper in front of us about 3 or 4 weeks ago, first suggesting that maybe he was sensing that God was moving him on, I mean, we just rejected that idea. And then, you know, worked very hard over the ensuing weeks, and as did Ray, to try and avoid that. But we've just come to this reluctant conclusion, the way that Ray has laid it out, that we're in just different places. As I said, there's a great sadness in all our parts, and I just want to reiterate that. No one wants this outcome. We're all in agreement on that. So where do we go from here? Again, just to confirm, the mission and the doctrine of the church remains unchanged and will remain unchanged. We will have and continue to have a strong commitment to biblical teaching. That, I think, is a cornerstone of our church. That is one of the great marks of our church, and will continue to be so. As we look in the area, we think that being standing foursquare on the Word of God is the only place for us to be. It's the only reason that we exist as a church. If we don't stand on the Word of God, then we have nothing to offer a broken and lost world. So we will have that commitment, and whatever the future holds, the people that will stand, the person that will stand and preach and teach from this pulpit will have a high commitment to the Word. Secondly, just in terms of practical aspects, Ray will finish his teaching on the series on Revelation. That will take him through, I think, approximately the end of April and the end of August. It seems like a long time, the end of August. And then we are offering him a sabbatical of up to 6 months to go away and just begin to think. So starting in September, to just go away, be with the Lord, be with his family, begin to pray, do a personal discernment, whatever he wants to do during that time, and begin to look at other opportunities and other ministry opportunities. In church terms, that's a long sabbatical. But we love this man and his family so much that we just think that's the right thing to do. If God is calling him to do something different, then we want to be part of him making the right choices. And I think you would all stand behind us in wanting him to have a full amount of time to be able to do that. We obviously, as elders, will continue a process of informing you and being involved in a dialogue with you as to what's going on. As I said, as has been said before, we tried to get to everybody with phone calls yesterday. We left more messages than we would have liked, but I think people away are on vacation and this, that, and the other, but that was part of the process. As Ray mentioned, there will be a letter for you as you leave today. It's a 2-page letter which gives you some more detail. Actually, it's the same really that you've heard this morning, but at least it's in paper that you can go back to and review and think about. And we're going to hold a congregational meeting this Wednesday night at 7:30. Ray and his family are actually leaving on vacation immediately after the service, so he will not, this is a pre-planned vacation he has, so he will not be at that, but all the elders will be there, and we invite you to come at 7:30 in the sanctuary on Wednesday, this Wednesday coming up, which would just be a time for us to talk together, to pray together, to ask questions. You know, what we recognize is we're doing a lot of talking from the front to you, and we need to give you a time to react and have a little time to think about it, ask some questions that might be coming up so that you can understand fully what has taken place. So that will be a congregational meeting. Let me encourage you to come Wednesday, 7:30 here in the sanctuary. Thirdly, we have a transition plan or a period that we need to work with. You know, one of the things, as Ray mentioned, is we do have an elder form of government here. That is the way we govern. And there are five elders who will obviously carry on to shepherd and lead the church with Michael and the rest of the staff. I mean, the good news about having an elder form of government is that we really are a ministry team together, And so when one leaves, the other five are still there to continue on and in many ways have been doing aspects of leading the church. So we've been involved all the time and will continue, obviously, to be very involved as a ministry team. Specifically for the elders, the first thing we need to do, of course, is to go into a very quick discernment process as to what we do next in terms of replacing Ray or bringing on new staff. How does that look from a leadership point of view? What kind of person are we looking for? And at some point, very quickly, obviously, we need to get a search ramped up because these things take some time. So we will work on those things over the course of the upcoming weeks. And that will obviously lead to a search process, and that will involve some of you, obviously, from the congregation in terms of being part of the search team as we go forward. In the meantime, the elders have asked me to assume the chairmanship of the elders in this transition period. Paul Fleming will be the vice chairman during that time. Ian, and I think we're fortunate here that Ian has time availability. Ian has agreed to cover the day-to-day operations within the church, working with Michael and the team within the church here just to cover the day-to-day operations. And obviously, Ian and I are going to work closely with Ray on transition issues over the coming weeks. Doug and Dave will continue to have increased visibility as elders as we all pick up the slack and take responsibility. So you'll see more of them too. I must say I'm very grateful to the elders for their willingness to step up at this stage and spend more time with the church. We're very committed to the outcome of the church and the success of the church, obviously. With lots of questions, people have started to ask me as I made phone calls, and I know other elders have got questions too. So who's going to preach in the interim? We don't know the answer to that question. There's a lot of things we don't know the answers to. We're speaking to you right at the beginning of this very process, but those are obviously the things that we're going to have to work on. Work on very, very quickly. But there's also a lot on the horizon, and one of the things that we're looking forward to very much, obviously, is VBS starting very soon, and continue to pray for VBS and the children that will come through there, that they will come to know Jesus as their Savior. Well, we know if God is moving Ray to another ministry, he's going to do write an exciting new chapter in the Bandai's lives. We also know if he's moving Ray away from here, if God's moving Ray away from here, that he also has good things for us here and will continue to bless Hope. It's hard to see that right now, frankly, because of the emotional pain most of us are feeling. I would say all of us are feeling. But God is at work, and Ray quoted Romans 8:28 a little bit earlier, I think as he prayed. That God works for the good for all those who love him and are called by his purpose. And it's at times like this that we have to look to the Bible for those kinds of promises as we do as elders. It's a time to rely on God and his promises. One of the scriptures that God has been ministering to me through in the last few days is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. And I think it's at this time appropriate that we would bring our request to God in prayer. So I'm going to invite the elders to come on up to the stage. And Paul is going to pray for us all. And then we're going to give you a time of congregational prayer too.
Thanks, Andy. If any of you were like me this morning, you came here with some level of trepidation and some level of fear. But I assure you that the Bible says over and over again, love conquers fear. And so we want all of you to know that not only do we love Ray and does Ray love us, but we love you. Each and every one of you. And so I think it's in that spirit of love that you all conquered fear to come here this morning. And so I applaud your courage and I applaud your spirit of love to come here this morning. I want to read Psalm 135, the first half. If you have your Bibles, you can join me. Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth, and he sends lightning with the rain and brings the wind out from his storehouses. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we do declare that you are the great God of creation. Lord, you have created the heavens and the earth. You have set the stars in the sky and the sun in its place. And Lord, you have created man, and you have brought us into your kingdom as your children through the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ and by his blood. Lord, you are sovereign in all things, and we stand before you, and we stand before your throne this morning, and we declare your sovereignty. We declare that you are the one and true God, and that your son Jesus died for us to bring us into your kingdom. And Lord, we just praise your name. We give glory to you in all things, and you are the sovereign one. And Lord, in the midst of knowing that your hand is over all, and in the midst of knowing that you have power over all things, we fall down before you. And we are confused, we are frustrated, and there's many things that we do not understand. We ask for your spirit of peace to come upon us, to cover this church, to cover the hearts of Ray and his family. And Lord, I just pray so much for those in our midst with tender hearts who are shaken by this. Lord, that you would take each one and bring them close. Lord, breathe upon them and whisper words of encouragement to each one. And Lord, to each one of us, we need you. We cling to you, Lord. We cling to your robes in this time. Pull us in. Lord, we pray for your spirit of unity to dwell within this place, to dwell within our hearts. Lord, let your spirit of love be so pervasive in this place that every spirit of division and every spirit of confusion would be cast far from here by the true light of your love. Oh, Lord, we lift up Ray to you. We lift up Laurel to you and his family and his house and his home. We lift up before your throne. Lord, Ray is your anointed servant. We have no question about that, Lord. You have risen him up and you have anointed him. We ask for your blessing upon him. Lord, we ask that you would open the windows of heaven upon the Bandai family. Lord, that you would lift him up and so encourage him, and so build him up for his next ministry opportunity. Oh, Lord, that he would look back and understand the foundation that you have given here, him here at Hope, to move on to what you have for him. And so, Lord, we speak just blessings upon his house in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And, Lord, I just pray for your blessings upon this church. Lord, I pray that you will take this church through this time, that you will strengthen us, that you will take the church with broken wings and breathe life into it, and Lord, that it will fly. Lord, it is our hearts that this church will be one that will glorify you in every way. And in the most, Lord, we just pray that this church will honor you, Lord Jesus, in your wish that your church is united, that your people are together of one spirit and in one mind, and Lord, that we can be known as a church that loves one another. Lord, let this be our testimony. So, Lord, I just pray for your blessings upon the leaders of this church, that you will guard their hearts. And Lord, I especially pray for each person here and those that can't be here today. Lord, that you will be the protector of our hearts. Lord, let your light shine and let darkness flee. We honor you so much. We praise you so much. We give glory to your name in this time. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you, Paul. I'm going to move to a time of congregational prayer. But before we do that, Ray and Laurel are heading out on vacation. And in fact, I think the family's kind of waiting to go. So we know that if Ray is still here when the service finishes, he's not going on vacation for about 5 or 6 hours, probably, as you talk to him. So we're going to let Ray slip out, and Ray will be back next Sunday. We're going to continue to pray for the Bandai family now, and we want to do that in congregational form. Yeah, for a couple few minutes, and Paul's going to lead us.
Let's pray for Ray and his family, and specifically if some of you feel led, just to pray for the strengthening of our church. If we could pray in those two directions, I think that would be really helpful for us for a couple minutes. And we'll ask Ian to sing a closing song, if that's okay. So I'll just pray for a minute, and just just for a few minutes, if those of you feel led, would pray in those two specific directions for Ray and for the future of our church. So thank you. Lord, I thank you again for how you are working in the midst of our church. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon Ray and your blessings upon this church. I think that's a great place to stop, and I just want to say thank you, Karen, for your sincerity. I want to say thank you, Steve, for your passion. Amen. And I want to thank you, Jen, for your wisdom. And these three things I think we're going to need moving forward. Ian, please.